Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Hello out there in Radioland, and welcome to the iOS show on the British Tech Network. You thought we'd left you. We have decided not to. We talked Robert down off the ledge, and we've decided to come back and record another episode. So here we all are. Well, we're not really. Ian's decided he was about 3 hours ago joining us. We've tracked him down. Roddy has tracked down his location, and he is definitely in his house, but there is no sign of him on Skype. Sadly. So
I hasten to add that I tracked down his location using Find My Friends, not by stalking around Edinburgh or anything like that. Not this time, anyway.
So we definitely know he's in his house, or at the very least his phone is in his house. So yeah, we'll patiently wait. Ian may join us at some point during the call. But I suppose, first of all, Happy New Year and Merry Christmas, because I think the last show we did was like late October, November, wasn't it?
It wasn't that bad, yeah, very end of November, I think.
Yeah, oh well.
And anyway. So apologies to everyone who was hanging on for a December episode. I think life just got the better of us there, didn't it?
I think so. Yeah, there was a variety of illnesses, work, internet problems. I think my internet went down. I couldn't get connected.
My alarms didn't go off once either. Kind of ruined one show.
Yeah,
and I faced most of December drunk, so you probably didn't want to hear from me then.
I don't think you wanted to hear from me either. So,
but we're back with the vengeance, and we will be keeping up our normal high audio quality and regular recording as you're used to prior to our little hiatus over the festive period. So, you have heard both Roddy and Robert. Hi, both.
Hello.
Robert's gone.
Don't say hello to the people, Robert.
I'm saying hello, I think.
Well, I think you were on mute then, so...
okay. On mute button.
We have some feedback. Over the time that we've been off, we've managed to pick up 3 items of feedback.
I think that after all our pleas, whenever we did regular podcasts, nobody ever put any feedback on, or very little. And now as soon as they think we're gone, they're putting all this positive feedback on to try and lure us back, because they need us. They can't live without us.
They need their crack of Robert.
I think this first guy's taking the mickey, though.
Yeah, so we've got Gladys Mark, too. I think there's a chance. He did give us 5 stars, though, so it's all fair.
Yeah, thanks for the stars.
So Gladys,
we always like those stars.
Gladys Mark, too, says, high fidelity, highbrow, and high on something. Such iOS knowledge is surpassed only by the show's high audio fidelity. The only podcast I have been chuckling to myself out loud whenever and wherever I may be. Keep up the good work, BTN. Thank you very much, Gladys Mark, too.
Are those referring individually to us? Like one of us is high fidelity, one of us is highbrow, and one of us is high on something. Clearly, I'm highbrow.
Well, I'm definitely the high on something because I'm always backed up on caffeine whenever we podcast. So.
I'll be the podcast to have me chuckling. That's my one. The next one is from Flipping. I'm assuming that's Flipping IT as opposed to Flipping It.
I think it looks like it, yeah.
Yeah. So another 5-star one from Flipping It. A great iOS podcast doesn't take itself too seriously. Not by a long shot, my friend. nowhere near it. And the final one we've got is from SJ Elliott. Thank you very much for 5 stars. How a podcast should be: informative, enjoyable, rambling, and relaxed. Keep it up. Well, apart from that couple of month break, we will be keeping it right up. Very good.
Yeah, so, good positive feedback. I like that.
Yeah, no, all very good. Even the ones complaining about our audio quality, we're still 5 stars. So
exactly, yeah. It doesn't matter then what we do about the audio quality, does it?
I know.
Because they love us, the suckers.
We're just so bloody awesome.
Indeed we are. Indeed we are. More so when Ian's not here.
I'll tell him you said that. If he ever surfaces, he's probably trapped in his bathroom or something. Again.
So you can, and until Ian arrives with us, we're going to have absolutely no numbers or statistics in this show.
Phew.
In fact, we're probably going to have no sensible comments or commentary at all.
It's going to be about 5 minutes long.
So, speaking of which, pushing on into the news, the first, and I have to say as well, there's a chance that some of these news stories that we've got in our list here, we actually put in fully intending for the first show the beginning of December as well, I think. But I'll try and kind of...
Let's go through them anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, people maybe lived under a stone during Christmas in December. You know, who knows? Anyway, Apple were potentially going to buy mapping startup Waze, but then they didn't. And that's pretty much the
end of that. Well, they've saved themselves some money. They've obviously got a penchant for thrift.
Well, exactly. Even. Well, it's maybe the absolutely smashing... smashing makes it sound positive. The awful... I'll just use awful. I was going to think of a funny word there, but it didn't work. The awful, awful share price. Actually, that's... You know, I was trying to think today. I was speaking to somebody today about what the share price problem is. And have you noticed, at the point where we stopped recording the show, the share price has just tanked.
We're evangelists. Yeah. We're carrying the flag.
I think it's all about us.
It is a strange correlation.
The world of Apple is falling apart.
Because we stopped recording the iOS show.
Oh, well. We're the glue that holds it together.
But I actually think this was this Waze thing was interesting because I actually I like the idea behind Waze. I don't think it's used heavily enough. I've tried to use it a couple of times in and around Edinburgh and Glasgow and stuff. And I remember opening it up once in Glasgow and there was two other Waze users and one was in Lanarkshire and one was, to be fair, also in the centre of Glasgow, but they were the little baby Waze, you know, the ones with a little dummy in their mouth which suggests that they've only kind of joined... half an hour ago or something.
Oh, not that they're an actual baby.
No. That
would be weird on so many levels.
But I like the idea of Waze. It's just not doing... It's just not got enough users, certainly in the areas that I checked anyway. But this would be interesting if they integrated that whole Waze functionality into Google and Apple Maps. Have either you guys used Waze?
No. Have you? Yes.
I have. Robert?
I have used Waze for a while, actually. That was first a couple of years ago, and I thought it was pretty horrible.
Yeah,
I hadn't even heard of it, so that's the impact it's had in my world.
They clearly have a marketing issue, big time. But I did try it more recently, and they really, really improved the app. It actually works now, in my opinion.
Do you get a lot of? Is there a lot of users in and around you?
Not so many, but it were far more than I expected.
Right. Okay.
Especially more like in the more urbanized areas, like in the middle of the middle, absolute nowhere where I am normally. It's like 2-3 people at most, but
and they're all in your garden.
Using it. That's the really funny part. I don't quite understand that, but then again, I don't really understand why there are lots of bulldozers around all the time either.
I think after your internet success this week, they probably are all your fans stalking you.
Oh yeah, yeah. We should probably give a little plug for that. Yeah. So you got a few. Did you get Dalrympled, or was it not? It was actually. It was in the loop, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah. And that worked out quite well.
That's one of the places where it started.
That was good. It was a good article.
You've had your 15 minutes of internet's fame.
Yeah. Again, he Dalrympled me. Like, what was it? Half a year ago.
All right. Okay. Last. Very good.
So, look at Johnny Popular there, la-di-da. I'm happy if I get 10 views on one of my blog posts.
Well, that's what I get in like a normal day otherwise. But now when these guys just shoot a few thousand people my way, I just get scared and like huddle up in the corner and cry sometimes. So it's not easy.
Bless.
But I don't mean to sound flippant to your article. It was a very good article and I like it, but I'm just pulling us back onto the news again.
Naturally.
Boring.
See, one thing I'll say about this Waze news was that when I read it, it sounded quite credible. You know, that there was apparently a deal happening and then it didn't happen. It wasn't one of these, Apple must buy, you know, another mapping solution. We know that they must. And there must, I guess this must have got into negotiations and just fallen through. Because we know that Apple needs something. They need a new vector into fixing maps and a new supplier. And maybe this was... They just couldn't come to the right terms with these guys.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's well used, and it seems to be a fairly supported app in the States. The only reason I heard about it was the mighty Mr. Anatko talks about it. I've heard him mention it at least kind of half a dozen times in a variety of different podcasts. He talks about it to the level that it's used heavily, and he gets to use people do say, you know, there's an accident here, there's a tree down there. There's a
helicopter. The tree.
There's a helicopter crashing into this. There's horse meat in that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yes.
I'm keeping it topical here, folks. News.
Yeah, it's a shame that I'm not going to get around to publishing this for 2 weeks, in which case it's not so topical anymore. But anyway.
That week's news story is rubbish.
Yeah, okay, we'll move on. So the next one I put in about the Facebook press event that was happening yesterday, but there wasn't really anything mobile at all about this. I'm assuming that their new social graph stuff will work on mobile and it'll work on iOS, but a lot of rumours were talking about that Facebook was going to bring out a kind of an iOS Android competitor. I added it in here for us to discuss, but...
It wasn't that.
There was nothing really mobile. I mean, was there anything special about the search thing? Or am I just desperately trying to pull information out of this?
I think it only... The graph search only looks interesting if you're really, really nosy. Like, you want to know which of your friends like eggs.
Yes. Or it's a dating thing as well.
I think I saw one article where we just searched for nearly random terms, like people liking rape and stuff, and they found quite a few people, sadly. It's weird. Very unpleasant. But hey, it's Facebook. They have a little too much information.
I tell you, I'll be making all my stuff private.
I made it as private as that I never signed up. Never will either.
Okay. So moving on to the next one, Apple is working on a less expensive iPhone.
Always working on a less expensive iPhone.
Well, the first article that I found about this was Business Insider, and it's talking about it's working on a less expensive iPhone, and it's planning to be plastic, and it's going to be see-through. Now, I was all for the see-through iMac. I liked the idea of it. It was quite a pretty thing way back in the day. Less so now. I have one sitting in my office here, and it's still a
nice
thing.
I've got one
thing.
Right beside me here.
The old G3s. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a nice thing.
Kind of lost there for a moment.
Well, I see. I just don't think that the see-through phone is quite the same. Because you can get that. There's a company that puts, because you know, obviously your iPhone's got like black glass or black plastic, depending on what version you've got in the back. You can get companies that actually will put a see-through bit on the back, but it always looks a shade tacky to me.
Do you know what I think almost illustrates what this would be like? Because have you ever seen you get people made up properly sized wallpaper for your phone?
Mm-hmm.
Like not wallpaper that you put on your walls and then wrap it around your phone. Like a, you know, home screen wallpaper.
Yeah,
a digital picture of the inside of an actual iPhone, mm-hmm. so that when you have it there, it looks like you're looking at your iPhone. So it would be that from the back, basically, wouldn't it?
Yeah, basically.
And isn't most of it the battery anyway?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's boring.
I mean, that's what you see.
I can't get the logic behind that, because I can see, let's make a cheaper one, but is see-through plastic cheaper than spending the money for the paint to colour in the plastic?
Do you know what I could almost imagine this being like? If it was sort of like a 3G or a 3GS and it had the plastic rounded back, do you remember those old mice you got for the Mac? And which ones were they? Were the first kind of lozenge-shaped ones?
Right.
And they were polycarbonate, but they were sort of white inside, but clear on the top. So it almost looked... It wasn't see-through, but it had like a partially transparent polycarbonate. I wonder if it might be like that.
It could be.
It's Business Insider. They're talking at their backside.
Yeah. Well...
We know who runs that place.
Having said all that, the Wall Street Journal, who's usually fairly on the money on Apple rumours... I've also got an article talking about this less expensive iPhone. Now, to be fair, as far as I can tell, they mentioned nothing about a see-through iPhone, which I'm a little bit glad about. But the whole idea of a low-priced iPhone, I can see an argument here. I mean, there's been talk of an iPhone Nano for pretty much
since the first one came out.
Yeah, days after the first one came out. So it kind of makes sense that they're going to do that. I
don't think it's necessarily smaller, though. I think it's just, you know, a slightly... cheaper build quality one for emerging markets and whatever. So it'll be like a 3G or a 3GS or something.
Yeah, but is that kind of thing going to get sold in the UK and the US and things like that?
I doubt it. I think it really is just for, you know, India and China and places like that that are really jumping on Apple now, especially China. But, you know, the capital's not always there.
Mm. Yeah,
but then again... With the current lineup, they don't exactly seem to be suffering so much. I'm not really sure they need, per se. I mean, they're not really chasing market share, so...
No, I would be worried that it harms the brand. I mean, when you kind of think about Apple as being your Audi, Mercedes, Porsche, that kind of level of car, You don't see Audi coming along trying to make you a $9,000 car to kind of get into the lower markets, like a $7,000 car, an $8,000 car, because that would harm their brand. The luxury is maybe the wrong word, but you know what I mean. They're like a higher brand, and
premium
brand. That's the, good word. See, you can see you're the writer here. unfortunately, the old one in the panel, that English is not the first language as well.
it's just showing off now.
But that just concerns me. And with the stock price already tanking, doing a move like this and just kind of making the brand cheaper just makes me very sad.
And it creates a two-tier society.
Yes.
Although nothing bad's ever come from that. So.
Yeah.
I think that's another one of these endless watch this space.
Yeah,
cheaper,
so.
Smaller iPhone. But then I said that about the iPad Mini, and I was wrong.
Yeah. And I love my iPad Mini. Comfortably the best Apple thing I have ever bought.
Interesting. Okay.
I finally got to like really play around with one, and it's a pretty awesome little machine.
Yeah. I think it's, for my use case, the form factor, the speed's slower than the other ones, but it's more than adequate for what I use it for. The screen is more than adequate for what I use it for. It's absolutely 100% perfect. Easily the best Apple thing. 100%
adequate, I think, from what you're saying.
Sorry, maybe I'm being unfair, but it is the best Apple product I've ever bought. Bar none.
They are very, very nice. My mum got one for Christmas off my dad. It's well nice.
It is. It's a beautiful little device.
I'll eat humble pie on the iPad Mini thing.
Yes.
And then again on the less expensive iPhone in 2 months or something.
The next article, we were talking about Microsoft Silicon Valley offices raided, which we were all really saddened about until we all had a little giggle when we realized that they'd only raided the Microsoft's office for iPads.
They did not take any Microsoft stuff at all.
And it was the Microsoft research and development, so you've got to assume there was some cool stuff in there. But no.
There are probably loads of surfaces everywhere.
In boxes and everything.
Loads of shrink-wrapped copies of Windows 8 Professional.
Yeah, it was over Christmas in their Mountain View office in California. $3,000 worth of iPads, which is about £1,865, was taken. Absolutely nothing else was touched. In fact, I heard that they returned a few copies of Windows Vista while they were in.
Zing. I don't seriously, think you could read anything into that story at all. It's just... Maybe the iPads were closest to the window that they broke.
Well. But what I want to know is if they managed to get copies of the beta version of Office.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Or what they were. There's bound to be some things on those iPads that Microsoft's currently working on to eventually go into the iTunes store.
Do you know what? Now that I look at this story, just looking back at it, do you remember that Ballmer and Gates, was it Gates, said that he didn't want any of his staff using Apple stuff?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think because this R&D department, the guys there have bought a few iPads and a slightly more relaxed environment, that Ballmer's crack team have burst in the window, abseiled in, nicked all the iPads, going, right, there you go. You don't mess with Steve Ballmer, do you? The light glitzing.
That wouldn't surprise me half as much as you believe, actually.
Did you see the, what company was it? Qualcomm. Stuff at CES Steve Ballmer bounding across the stage.
Oh, no.
Yeah, oh, no. You've
I saw
the
GIF where they like put in a little cake in front of him, so he looks and shakes. He chases the cake.
Yeah, that was good.
Crazy guy.
The Verge had quite a good kind of mashup they did, because apparently that Qualcomm presentation was just mental. It had everything. It had cringe-worthy moments. It had jokes that just didn't land. It had random people. It had Big Bird, Steve Ballmer, and Maroon 5 all in one keynote.
That's the worst.
And so The Verge put together kind of a mashup of all those all the best bits, basically. But apparently, it was just amazing. But Steve Ballmer bounding across the stage.
He kind of looked like
the marketing. Marketing department really need to stop him from running. It's just creepy.
Just, and talking, and moving, and doing things. And
oh, that too, yeah. That would be a good idea. Yeah.
That sounds almost as bad as they did. Microsoft did. They released something a year or two ago, and they got some kind of Euro DJ rapper guy to do a soundtrack for it. And it was all about how big his willy was and what he was going to do to the ladies. And it was not only was his playing at the, you know, the keynote thing or the reveal, but it even had subtitles on monitors. Anyway, no, that's enough Microsoft for one podcast.
Yes.
Make me feel ill.
So the next thing is, and this is mainly for our American listeners, AT&T to enable FaceTime over cellular for all tier data customers. Well, nor, we've had that for a long time. So,
but you didn't, so enjoy. Hey, give us a call. Pull me up, FaceTime me.
It's awkward to say, doesn't it?
Somebody in America, or are you inviting anybody on listening, or is it me or Robert?
Everyone in America, I want to FaceTime you all. Show me some FaceTime love, come on. Don't
FaceTime me.
Really don't, that would be weird.
Yeah.
It's weird enough some of you already follow me on Twitter. It's probably weirder for you, to be fair.
So it was announced on Wednesday that it's going to come at no extra cost, which is very interesting. And it's for 4S and 5 customers mainly. I can't see anything in the article. I couldn't see anything in the article about date. I was just having a Google search to see if I could find something else about the date, but I can't see anything. So it maybe already happened.
What else have we? I know we need to move on. We're going to get a couple of these out of the way.
Okay, we'll quickly do another one. Wayne Dobson, that was an interesting one.
That was Wayne Dobson. I wonder if Wayne Dobson's listening. Wayne.
Hi, Wayne. Wayne Dobson. Kind of sounds like a name of somebody that does something.
It sounds like sort of the name of somebody you'd probably have beaten up at school.
It does, or like some kind of... what do you call that? Legal aid solicitor. Call Wayne Dobson.
Wayne Dobson and Dobson and Dobson.
Yeah, so...
bad fall at work. Wayne Dobson. So yeah, he lives in a house.
He does.
And his house is in a special place, isn't it? It's a magical place.
Narnia.
Because all of the... or the local carrier companies, or is it Sprint or some of the cellular carriers?
I think it was Sprint.
It's a variety of them, but Sprint's one of them. So yeah.
They started it, did they? Mm. And I'm sorry, I've just been distracted. That Ian apparently is bleeding, which is why he's not on. We'll come back to that breaking news in a minute. So anyway, in fact, we can use this to illustrate the story. If Ian were bleeding and in the United States, he would call 999 because he's a wimp. And using his mobile, of course, 999, when you call from a landline number, knows where you are. It's geographically connected. But with a mobile number, they don't know where you are. And so they did some little mucking around so that they could get a vague idea of what geographical location a mobile phone was coming from, mobile phone call was coming from, without using GPS or anything like that. And all of these focus on Wayne Dobson's house. So now, when Wayne Dobson has had people using things like Find My iPhone and whatever, coming up demanding their iPhone off him, he's had the police at his house several times. The guy's being bombarded with idiocy, basically. This must be like listening to this podcast.
I find that whole thing quite incredible, the fact that they can track you down based on just your phone number. I know it kind of makes sense, and you see it in like 24 and CSI and stuff like that, but I once had that years and years and years ago. It was my first ever mobile phone. I still lived with my parents, and I was decorating my bedroom, and I'd left my mobile phone down on the floor or something like that, and a pot of paint had fallen on top of it. It's still closed and stuff like that, so it didn't get any paint over it. And it had done an emergency call. Never really thought anything more about it. And then about 20 minutes later, it was a time later, the police rocked up at the door to make sure that I was all okay. Because it had been a 999 call, and they could just hear kind of muffled kind of banging and knocking about because I was decorating. And so they came around to the house to make sure I was okay, which was very, very kind of them. But they had to come in and check the house and stuff like that.
Did they come to help?
Here's a paintbrush, fire rod.
I've had the police round to my house twice because my kids, when they were little, dialed 999. I had no idea. And yeah, they say, well, just come in and make sure everything's okay. Is there anything you want to tell us, sir? So my kids are little sods.
So Wayne Dobson. So is there? So are they going to do anything about this? Is Wayne Dobson's house getting moved? So is that
I bet his house. The one thing they've left out of this story is that his house is like a tree house around the top of a mobile phone tower, like a mast or something.
Yeah. Oh, poor Wayne Dobson. I really wanted a photograph of him. The article that we had didn't have a photograph. I think there could have been some amazing internet memes.
Tenor says he's got a moustache.
See, I have kind of a gentle-looking old man in my head about...
That sounded wrong.
I like that he actually put up a big sign on his house like, no, I don't have your mobile phone.
Well, if we're moving on from the news, so shall I use this little link that you're going to do, Paul, to try and invite Ian onto this?
Yes. So how long do you want this link to be? How long do you need?
To keep going.
Okay, keep going.
Really right. There.
Okay.
Really there.
Robert, what did you have for dinner tonight?
Oh, let's see if I can remember what it was. I think it was something with meat, and I think there was some vegetables involved too.
Very good.
Pretty good.
I wasn't going to suggest what he might have eaten after me saying that Hungarians only eat sausages or something last time. So.
I think there were sausages involved, but I think they were German. I'm not sure. Mm.
Oh, he's not accepted. Let's move on. We don't need him.
Okay, it's okay. We'll try him again in the next break while we find out what the internet needs to know, which is what Robert had for his lunch today.
That's much more interesting, I'm very sure, yes.
Right, okay. So the next section, as you all know, because we changed the format briefly 2 months ago, so we're now on to the competition. So I only have two articles in here. There's only really kind of two things that I've been shouting about. I was kind of hoping the Facebook thing would turn up something else. But first one, I found quite interesting, primarily because this is almost about the price that you'd be willing to pay for maybe an expensive magazine or something like that. It's almost kind of throwaway money. And it's a
look. What kind of magazines do you buy, Paul?
No, that's true. Well, $20 is about what? £12-13, and you can get like some of like the .NET specials, like the CSS special or whatever, is sometimes about £12.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I that was a stretch, I accept, but nevertheless. So a look inside the world's cheapest tablet computer, India's $20 Akash. Do you think that's how you pronounce that?
It looks like Akash.
Akash 2 video. So basically what this is it's a $20 tablet. And by the looks of things, it doesn't look horrendous. I mean, it probably looks about the same level as the Maplin £99 tablet that came out last. Was it last year, the year before? But the fact of the matter is, it's going to have Wi-Fi. It's going to have a battery, which is always handy for a tablet.
It has to be connected to the mains at all times.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea. Apparently, the display costs a mind-blowing $2.50.
Blue neck. Is it like an Etch-a-Sketch or something?
Well, it's pretty...
Is it like when you're a kid and you make a TV set out of a box and you cut out the front and your head's inside like the news announcer?
I
have to say, it's not a new idea, is it? Because I've been getting like about 5 emails a day for years offering me $20 tablets. Apparently, it's all I need to make my...
Yes.
Makes the ladies squeal with pleasure.
Apparently, they've got a backlog of about 4 million orders for this thing. It's hardly surprising.
I mean, it from one person? That's only 100 quid or something, isn't it? Only 100 of them.
But I think it's a great idea. Think about it for schools and stuff like that. I mean, essentially, if all this can possibly ever do is connect to the internet and that's it, and you can just run a browser on it, then as long as you've got Google Docs, then this could be used in schools. And I imagine... I don't know this. I'm not basing this on any fact or anything like that. But I would imagine if you were to replace one of these with all the books that you give a kid at school for a year, you're going to be in pocket.
Yeah, totally. It's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just having a look through the pictures. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be rubbish, but it's $20.
It's $20. I mean, as long as it's good enough to be a... you know, as I say, to connect to the internet or something like that. I mean, £20, you're not really... I mean... This is going to maybe sound a little bit like I don't mind burning £20 notes. I blow my nose with £20 notes. No, that's not what I mean. But, you know, if you give your kid this to take it to school and after 6 months he loses it, you're going to be miffed. But, I mean, it's far better he loses a £20 tablet than a £300 iPad.
Well, exactly. I'm reading too. Another thing is it actually runs Ice Cream Sandwich, which is better than a hell of a lot more expensive Android devices out there.
Yeah.
From very, very big manufacturers, might I add, too.
Yeah. It takes a SIM card as well.
It does. I love the fact that you're not even hiding the fact that you have not read this article before, Roddy.
I don't read any of this. This is...
I just
tack little things that I find funny onto all the hard work you guys have done in a desperate attempt for validation. Is there something wrong with that?
No, it's fine.
Go front-facing cameras. That's really, I want one of these.
£20 as well.
Yeah, I'm going to start loads of rumors that are going to bring out an Akash Mini now.
Well, I could probably, it'd probably be cheaper than wallpaper, and you could just have like an entire wall of them. You know, like in old TV shops years and years ago when they used to have like one picture spread over like 15 different screens. You could just put these up your wall and you could instantly have like an 80-inch telly for a fraction of the price. Well, maybe not. I can't do that math. But you know what I mean? It's kind of somewhere near there. Anyway, moving on.
It's actually cheaper than so many other. You could wear it as a pair of sandals. $20 each, strapped into your feet with some tape. That's cheaper than sandals. Mm. Could use it as a TV tray. You could use it as a laptop tray when you're using your laptop on your lap.
Indeed, you could.
Small, but you could get a few of them and like glue them together, maybe. Yeah.
You could use them as headlights in your car and braking lights.
You could use them exactly as that.
As a belt buckle and put like words across it. You know, like some of those cool young hip kids wear LED belt buckles.
I don't know what kind of cool hip kids you know, Paul. I think any cool hip kids I knew would beat your cool hip kids senseless if your cool hip kids were wearing that.
Oh, dear, yeah.
To be thrown into a lake and laughed at.
Mm. Indeed.
Anyway. What's the other news thing we've got?
So if you're bored of your iPhone or your Android phone, you'll love this new custom OS. So basically, Ubuntu are releasing a phone OS. And going on nothing else apart from the three screenshots in this article, I quite like it, but that's mainly because I quite like that kind of colour of purple.
I like Ubuntu, generally.
I do.
Mm-hmm. It's based on Debian, that's good. Mm. Can I be a little bit pedantic?
What's that?
As if I know something. This isn't Ubuntu's first phone OS, is it?
They've been involved in something before, right?
Ubuntu that you could sort of... Was it not the one that you could plug into a computer or something like that? I think they've done one before, but this is properly meant to be like an alternative to Android. Mm. Properly open source. Very shiny.
Mm. It seems very nice. It actually looks... on a couple of the pictures, it kind of looks a little bit like the Kindle Fire wrapper that they put in the Android OS. So like that whole kind of cover flow type thing. So maybe taking a couple of like hints from that. And I quite like when on the screen that shows you taking photographs, it sort of looks like the Aperture logo from Portal.
Oh yeah, okay, very nice. I quite like what they've done with I've forgotten it. Is it Unity interface they have on their desktop Ubuntu?
Oh.
I think they're going some quite nice places with. I know a lot of people don't like Unity, but I think it's quite neat, and they're going some quite interesting, challenging places. So it's a good thing. It's good to have competition, but and I'm going to try not to snigger while I say this, but it's going to be hard for them to achieve penetration. I think. I mean, to be a small player now, you know, you've even got former larger players like Rim that are.
Yeah.
You know, struggling. So they're going to have some... I mean, if they had a hardware partner or something.
Yeah.
But if they've been trying to tease people away from Android.
I mean, if they could... I mean, Nokia have announced that they're going to be... they're going to be looking at Android later on this year. If they could do something with Ubuntu... I mean, it's a good... It's come on leaps and bounds in the last few years. The actual, like, desktop OS. If they could find a way of finding like somebody like Nokia or even, heaven forbid, somehow doing something with RIM or something like that, I think they would actually have a chance. I know that's not going to happen, but something like that, they could have a chance. But it seems that Nokia has even kind of, you know, accepted defeat on the software market. We should have really been talking about this, the fact that Nokia was talking about, because it is competition. I think that there is something in that. If Ubuntu could find a kind of hardware partner like that. And Nokia, the fact that they're going away with Android, I find interesting. They needed to do something. I'm a little disappointed that they haven't kind of, instead of, they're kind of doing a me too as opposed to, well, okay, this didn't work, so try this kind of thing.
That's exactly what they did.
The shotgun approach.
Mm, Yeah, well, actually, in all of that that we just discussed there, we have not once mentioned Windows.
Yay! Well, until now, when you have.
Well, hey, we talked about how they got broken into and they got their stuff stolen. That's enough for them.
Indeed,
we did. Just going back a little bit to Ubuntu on the phone here, as far as I can tell, it's very gesture-heavy. It's like pretty much the only way to do anything in that system.
A bit like me, Robert, if you're trying to get me in the right mood.
I'll remember that. All right. I'll put that in the manual. Okay. How to use Rodi.
I didn't just say that, did I?
Yeah, you did. But we've covered over it. So we're moving on now to the trouble gusset. Do you want to give Ian another try, or are we just abandoning him?
He's still bleeding, I think.
Is he? Right, okay.
I'm sure it's probably just trivial bleeding. So.
Yeah. So the trouble gusset, we've had a few that's come in the last few weeks. We've actually got a few that came in this last 7 days. So I apologise if you sent in the last 7 days, but because we've been off the air, as it were, for so long, we couldn't cover everything. So we'll try and cover those over the course of the next couple of shows. But so these are the ones that kind of came in, which would have been the shows in November.
Sorry.
Apologies. No, December.
I like the way we've moved straight onto the trouble gusset while Ian's probably clutching his carotid artery at the moment, gushing great jets of claret all over his house. It's fine. He'll be fine. We'll just go, let's do some iOS questions.
We can't help him. I mean, Robert, there's no chance that he can help him. I mean, at least there's the chance that you could maybe wander around to his house. I could drive and be there in about 40 minutes.
I've been at his house before. I'm not going again.
But, I could walk there, but I fear I'll be a little bit too late.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I would imagine so.
What have we got in the? Let's have a rummage around in the gusset. Let's move on, please.
So, what are some good alternatives to find my friends? And that's from Lindsay Ross. Thank you very much, Lindsay.
Find your own friends.
No. There's some alternatives are.
Well, it says somebody's written it down.
Yeah, I know. I was giving somebody else a chance. I didn't want to just talk constantly.
It's their idea. You do it, Paul.
Okay, Google Latitude. No, I can't because I haven't used Google Latitude for years. And the last time I used it, I was fairly disappointed in it.
I used it when it first came out, and it was probably like that Waze thing I looked on, and there was like one person miles away. Yeah. It depends why you need an alternative to Find My Friends. I think Find My Friends does work pretty well, but within the constraints of using Apple Maps. So it does. I've noticed that since we changed over Apple Maps, Find My Friends often just says people are in Great Britain. It will have them pinpointed on the map. It says Great Britain, not Edinburgh or Glasgow or Liverpool or the moon. So it's maybe if that's the problem, then maybe Google Latitude's worth a go, especially if you have a Gmail account or a Google account and know a lot of other people that do.
Well, that's actually interesting that you see what is the use case, because that... I have a use case, so...
Are you going to tell us about it?
Well, if Lindsay... Sorry, I was swallowing. I kind of hiccuped and swallowed at the same time.
You're not going to start bleeding as well, are you?
No, I'm okay. So, depending on what your use case is, Lindsay, and by all means, fire us in and tell us if these use cases aren't quite for you. So you've got Google Latitude if the people you're trying to find are on any kind of Gmail. Another alternative is Glimpse, which actually coincidentally is both my tip and my... it's just my tip. I was going to say it's my pick as well, but it's not. So what Glimpse is it's kind of like Find My Friends, but it sort of kind of works. And my experience is kind of differs from Roddy's in that whenever I've used Find My Friends, so there's only kind of half a dozen people, and one of those half a dozen people is in fact Roddy on my Find My Friends, and it always finds Roddy. It very rarely finds 100% of the other five people. It finds parts of them, but not 100% of them.
That sounds weird.
Yeah, but it always just kind of says locating, and then eventually it tells me the last location that they kind of thought you might have been in.
There are some people who, like, occasionally, maybe it's where they work and they're just not getting reception or whatever, but there are the habitual unfindable people, the people that I've never been able to get a lock on since they added me.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think there's something as well, there was that whole thing when, I can't remember, was the iPhone 4 or the iPhone 4S, when it came out, a lot of people were complaining about the battery, and a solution that a lot of people suggested and were implementing was switch off location services, which obviously completely defeats the point in Find My Friends, because location services are off, you can't be found. But what I found is Glimpse works very, very well, and I can only assume that it works very well for the following reasons. What Glimpse does is you basically open it up, and it says, who do you want to send a Glimpse to? And you can send people to Facebook, to Twitter, to text message, to email or something like that. So let's, for example, say I'm sending a glimpse from my office to my wife to say I'm leaving the office now, so she knows when to get my pot noodle nice and toasty and warm for when I get home. What you do is I choose my wife in my phone, our mobile phone number. It then says, where do you want to go? So I type in my postcode. It then says, how long do you want this glimpse to be available for? And so the options are anything up to 4 hours from 15 minutes, I think it is. So I usually set it for 2 hours in case of delays on the way home from work. And then I hit send. And basically what it does is it sends her a unique URL that all it is it just, when you click on it, it either opens up Glimpse on your iPhone, if you happen to have it, or Android, I assume, or it opens up a web browser. And all it is just a little pinpoint that shows your location on a map with a little speed above it, and it shows roughly how long it's going to take for you to get home. And I can only assume that the reason that it works better than Find My Friends is if I happen to be going through a data blank spot, it knows where I'm heading for, it knows the road I'm on, and it knows my rough speed when I was last there, so it can kind of make a broad guess as to where I currently am. And it works really, really well.
There are two caveats to what you've just said, I think. The first one being, if it's actually got your speed on it, it shows your speed. Yes. Then you have to stay within the national prescribed speed limit or people will judge you. And also, you don't toast a pot noodle. Do you add hot water to them?
Technically, I make my pot noodle and then I sieve all the liquid out and then I put it inside like a pita bread or something and then I toast it.
You're weird.
I quite like pot noodle like that. Anyway, that's by
the way. I'm going to check out Glimpse.
Yeah, no, Glimpse is very, very good. And actually, I'm going to come on to my tip because my tip is relating to Glimpse. So I'm going to come back to that in a second. But if the purpose is to know when somebody's going to turn up or when they're going to leave, particularly at this time of year in the UK when it's snowy and things like that, it's quite good for it to just fire off a Glimpse to say, I'm going to be a couple of hours. And then you don't get that phone call half an hour down the road from your mum saying, you've not arrived yet. Are you crashed? Are you in the snow? Are you died? Have you been robbed by kookaburras or something? You know, that happens.
A lot in your life that happen all the time.
Well,
between you and Ian bleeding.
Anyway, we've dragged on this one a little bit too long. So
yeah, I'm bored of that one now.
Yeah, so that's a use case. If neither of those use cases fix what you're looking for, Lindsay, give us a shout and we will try and find another one. The next one is there any way to have more than three devices offline on a single Spotify account? That one's from Ian Scobie. Now, this one's quite a quick one for a get rid of here. This isn't technically an iOS question because it's about the offline mode in Spotify. The answer is no.
I thought you could use an offline mode on the iOS version, couldn't you?
You can, but it's not unique to iOS. This problem is not an iOS problem. That's what I mean.
Right, I've got you. But you can't.
You can do offline. You can do offline in iOS, but you can't have more than three devices offline. However, you can have more than three devices with Spotify on a single Spotify account, although I'm sure it's against the terms of services. So please don't necessarily try that off the back of what I've just said there.
Come round to your house.
Exactly. But there's a little switch on the top of the playlist that say offline or online, and you can only have three devices utilizing that feature. If you leave it offline... If you leave it online, which means that you are not downloading the songs to your phone, you can still use it on more than three devices. It just streams the audio from Tinternet, so you need a decent data connection.
Of course, you probably don't want to be using Spotify on any devices because it doesn't support artists, blah, blah, blah. I'm boycotting it because I'm like that.
Okay.
If anyone from Spotify is listening, stuff you.
And now for our sponsor this week, Spotify.
Oops.
Those are my views and a lot of other people's views, but not necessarily views of British Tech Network or other sponsors.
Indeed.
So the right view.
Spotify is not sponsoring this podcast, just to make you aware. And they probably won't.
And they won't be now.
So the next question comes from Keith Barker. Can you install LastPass plugin on Safari for iOS?
No, you can't.
Okay, that was easy.
Because you can't install any plugins in Safari and iOS. But what we did, and I think, did I look this up? This was ages ago, but I think I maybe found it. There's a LastPass application for, for iOS, but you do have to be a customer already. So maybe that's what you're after rather than the plugin.
There's a couple of LastPass ones. So there's three LastPass apps you can get. One,
I think it's only one when I looked. Maybe that's changed.
Oh, maybe it's for iPad. Maybe I can't remember. Anyway, when I looked, there's a one called LastPass Browser, which basically what that is it's exactly what you're looking for. It's a browser, so it doesn't, and unfortunately, because what we discussed in this show before, it can't change your default browser. But if you want to log in, like for example, your bank or Facebook or something like that, that you want to keep your password hidden, if you open up the LastPass Browser app, that is just a browser, but it can detect form fields and it can input in the same way that it works for like the browser plugin on like your laptop or something. Mm-hmm. So the LastPass browser does actually do what you want it to do, but it's sort of a long-winded way of doing it in that you can't do it just straight through Safari. But the functionality you're trying to achieve can be done through that.
Cool. Yes.
There's also LastPass Wallet and the regular LastPass.
I take it LastPass is like one password or something, is it?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, it was a new one on me.
Yeah, no, I've never... I don't know the ins and outs of LastPass, but I do know that those three apps exist, and the browser one, I think, achieves the functionality you're looking for, Keith. So,
an education for all of us.
Indeed. And so the final one is a repeat question. We've actually had this question before, but not a problem. Thank you very much, Gillian Pratt, for pinging us an email. I want to remove the newsstand app folder from my home screen. How do I do this?
I think my less than helpful suggestion last time was you just get a little sticker, an opaque sticker, and stick it over the bit where the icon is on your screen.
Indeed.
Or more helpfully, what I've done is you can't even put it in folders, can you?
No.
You can't even tuck it away in your folder with folder. Stocks and all that other stuff. So yeah, I think the best one's just to drag it on as far through onto a new page of your home screen out of the way.
Yeah.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Indeed, that's the only thing you can do. Now, this sounds like an Ian thing here. Should we mention this?
It's covered in blood, so it must be
a bit sketchy, but yeah.
We are not condoning this in any way, shape, or form. I've certainly not tried it. It kind of is worded in a way that maybe Ian's typed it in, so there's a chance that he's tried it.
This doesn't sound like it's going to be relevant to the question, does it?
Ian suggests, apparently, that I'll read the exact word for word. There's an app you can download for your computer that apparently messes about with the iPhone's configuration so that it can be hidden, it being the newsstand. I would not recommend this solution, he says. None of us have tried it. None of us are condoning it. That sounds dodgy as hell. But if you want to have a punt, fire on.
Knock yourself out.
Yeah, have fun.
Yeah, I can't see that ending particularly well. But it exists if the newsstand app is bugging you that much. So moving on now, and we're into the tip section. We are currently running exactly 10 minutes behind schedule, so
yay, extra podcast for you. 10% extra free.
Streak, what is your tip this week?
It's about a nice little service that's been around for a whole bunch of years called HuffDuffer. You might be familiar with the concept of Read It Later, which is now Pocket or Instapaper. Well, HuffDuffer is the same thing, but for audio.
Mm.
So it kind of creates your own little RSS feed with just your own personalized podcast feed, if you want. So you can just... I used to have it imported into iTunes, but nowadays I run the separate podcatcher. So I just go around the web and, I find this podcast episode. I think I want to listen to that. Mm-hmm. You click the little HuffDuffer button, which there's tons of bookmarklets and... plug in for Safari, Firefox, whichever browser you want, pick one. And it just adds it to your feed, and next time you load up whatever podcatcher you have, poof, there you have it, your new episode ready for listening, and you just get the ones you want. Don't have to listen to 5 million episodes of that almost interesting show that I will not name now. So that's pretty much a good tip. You cut down on the stuff you don't want, and you get pretty much just what you want.
Very good. Cool. Great one. Roddy, what's your tip for this week?
What apart from just, try and eat well, five fruit and veg a day, regular exercise.
On that, do either of you know if Satsuma and an orange counts as two separate of your five a day?
Well, one or the other.
Well, no, what I mean is if you eat an orange, and so for example, if I eat a banana, a pear, an apple, a satsuma, and an orange, would that count as five?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, but they're kind of the same thing, are they not?
You could eat five portions of the same thing.
Yeah, but that whole five a day thing, is surely it's supposed to be five different. Because if I ate five oranges, that doesn't count.
But you will get lots of C vitamin on the other hand.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Shall we? What we need to do is find a nutrition podcast that has some kind of five-a-day trouble gusset, and we'll write into them and see what they say. Is that can be our homework, right? We'll get back to you next time and see if any of our listeners know. Please don't tell us. I don't want to leave Paul in the dark on this one. Can I do my tip now?
Yeah, sorry, carry on.
You've put me off my stroke now, don't you? I haven't had Siri before because I only had an iPhone 4 and I thought I'd wait for the iPhone 5 because I didn't want a 4S. So I've not had Siri. So I got my iPhone 5 in December while wandering around drunk and not doing podcasts. And it's got Siri, which is great, but I do have a passcode on my phone because I'm security conscious. And I noticed that actually, by default, if you hold down the home button while your phone is locked, it will activate Siri. And of course, while people can't get straight into your documents or anything, that means they could access, you know, your contacts or, you know, diary, they could trigger diary entries and whatever. So you can disable that by going to settings on your iPhone, general, passcode lock, and then there's a bit to disable Siri. So then all you need to do is when you do want to use it, you just type in your PIN code and you're in, and then you can use Siri. It's sensible. Yeah.
Also, Passbook, I've just looked in there. I'd never actually looked at that before. Because I normally just go in, set up my passcode lock, and then go back out again. I never really thought about it. But you can, apparently, Passbook is also accessible when locked.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So you can switch that off as well. And you can also reply with messages when locked.
You can. But then that's handy.
Mm.
It is only predefined messages, so unless you've made them rude yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's not much damage you could do.
That is true. However, the Passbook thing, assuming anybody on the planet provided any kind of Passbook service, Passbook...
Steve Swine would add all those loyalty points to your Starbucks Passbook. Oh.
I know, exactly.
It's not victimless crime, is it?
Mm. Mm. Cool. anyway.
Think about sponsors, Paul.
So, well, no, I've got a tip to do.
Done your tip.
What was my tip?
It was Glimpse.
No, that was an answer to the trouble gusset question. What are some good alternatives to find my friends? I try to steal my tip here.
You Glimpse shill.
Okay, coincidentally, my tip is Glimpse.
Who knew?
So what I found was, while Glimpse is awesome, if I'm sending the same message to tell my good lady wife that I'm heading home from work so she knows when to get the tea on. Now, incidentally, we run a very, very fair 50-50 household. The fact that she makes tea is just a coincidence. It's not some kind
he
of...
He does the breakfast bed.
I do breakfast. So just in case I get any emails or anything like that saying that I'm forcing my wife to have my dinner on the table, that's not the case. Anyway, by the way. So I send a Glimpse most nights when I remember so that she knows where I am on the road and stuff. It's a pain in the arse every time you go into Glimpse, and then you have to put in the postcode. Then you have to choose who you're sending it to. Then you have to choose how long it's going to be sent for. Then you have to send it. And it's four steps. And, you know, I've got other things to do when I'm sitting on the train. Very little else, but by the by. So in Glimpse, you can go down to Shortcuts, and basically it allows you to create a Glimpse with all the settings. So send it to this person, going to this location, and make it active for this amount of time. And it then creates another little app on your home screen, which is essentially a web shortcut, but that's, for all intents and purposes, another app. And all it does, as soon as you open it, it just kind of comes up and just kind of almost plays back the information to you to make sure it's all okay. And you just hit send, job done, as one tap, and it means that I send a Glimpse every time. So it's quite
handy. You better not be doing that while you're driving.
No, no, it's when I'm on the train.
Right, that's fine. Just checking.
Yeah. It's when I'm on the train.
Do the sponsors thing now. We're bored of Glimpse.
Okay, the sponsors. So this podcast and all the others in the British Tech Network are sponsored by UK2, the wonder that is UK2. If you head on over to the British Tech Network website, I will just do that as we speak. So we head on over to the British Tech Network website and click on the sponsors link on the top. You will then come to a page that's got our sponsors on it. So the top one there is UK2. If you then click on their logo, And you will go off the UK2Net website, and then you can buy all sorts of awesome stuff like DNS, domains, VPN servers, and so on and so forth. Domains are 20% off your domain registration. I don't know of any other provider that's doing that. It's pretty awesome. So if you head on over there, you buy all the stuff, make sure you click through our website when you do it. Don't just use the voucher codes, because we want them to kind of know that we sent you and get the kudos, and you haven't just found these voucher codes somewhere else. So if you want to head on over there, buy as much stuff as you possibly can from UK2. We love them. We love their sponsorship. They've sponsored us for years now, and they're going to continue until this episode comes out, and then they may change their mind. But for the moment, they're going to continue to sponsor us, and it's all fantastic. So thank you very much, UK2, for sponsoring BTN. Please sponsor them. So we're on the home straight, gentlemen, on the home straight. First of all, we have our plops.
Yeah.
Roddy, what is your plop tonight?
That's personal. Or do you just mean the app that I wasn't best pleased with?
Indeed.
It's one of my darling children, little sods, got Gangnam Dance Booth, which is free because obviously I don't give them any money. And what it is, it's a song that I hadn't heard before, called the Gangnam Style, which I believe is a popular dance.
Oh, right. Okay.
And I think there's a song that goes with the dance.
Is this something for the kids?
I think it's going to be big. I think it will get really, it could be quite popular.
Okay.
So the Gangnam Dance, or the Gangnam Style Dance, as they call it, has an app where basically you take a photo of someone, which the little sods did surreptitiously, and was not a particularly nice photograph, and it puts your head on the body of the singer of the Gangnam Style Dance.
Nice.
And then it dances around with your face on his body, playing his stupid music over and over and over again. I hate it. Of course, it actually is quite cool. But, if you like that sort of thing, it's hugely entertaining.
Okay, kind of like the elf yourself thing that everybody does at Christmas.
It's exactly like that, but with the Gangnam Style dance, which will be popular.
Fine. Okay, okay, very good. Robert, well, not very good, but anyway. Robert, what is your plop?
That's probably a high note in comparison to the junk that I found. I found STNG calculator, and the STNG in this case is Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh, God.
There are good ways to take like imaginary computer systems and bring them into real life. This is not one of them. The graphics are blurry, and I'm saying this as a iPhone 3G owner. It's kind of difficult to make it more blurry than it already is compared to Retina graphics and stuff. Mm-hmm. This is blurry, really blurry. And the sound effects are random for every button press.
It's effectively a soundboard then.
It's more like a soundboard with like rudimentary calculator functions. Yeah, pretty much. I really expected it to be a proper calculator, but no, the stock built-in one into iOS that kicks this one's rear rather hard. I should say. Yeah, this is. I get angry just from looking at this.
You can see how laughably.
I love that their app icon is just a screenshot of their app. They haven't even bothered to do anything interesting with their app icon.
Precisely, yeah.
And also, when you look down at the reviews on this one, clearly Empire Spy works for this company. Awesome, 5 stars.
I haven't even checked that out.
Works great. What a pile of something. See, it'd be quite good if they'd done it. It had William Shatner's face and you touched it. Tapped it. Mm. And you went, Khan!
I would actually pay for that, and especially in comparison with this affront to everything that is Star Trek, pretty much.
Indeed.
Can we talk about good things now? Oh, Paul, you've got one, don't you?
I've still got one. It's the Nectar Card app. So Nectar Card is very similar to like your loyalty card, your Tesco Club card, and so on and so forth. And I downloaded it fully expecting that I could stop carrying around my Nectar Card, which is what I was quite chuffed with the Tesco Club card. That means that I don't have to carry around my Club card anymore. Unfortunately, this is not this. All it seems to be is a marketing app that tells you the offers and stuff that you can get. And it continuously has a notification icon, and every time, this is all the current offers and things like that. So you have to go in, and I hate notifications, so I always have to open up apps that have got notifications and clear them. So I go in, and then I look at all the ads, and I'm like, there's not even even I'm even looking at them and deciding they're not for me, because I could kind of see, yeah, okay, it's annoying, but they're forcing you to look at the ads, so you'll then go, oh, I do need 10 of pads or something, I don't know. But
you really do.
But it's not even, I'm not even looking at it because it's just annoying. And I think I would almost put up with that if the least it did was have some kind of QR code or barcode that was my Nectar card, so that I didn't have to carry around my Nectar card anymore. But no, it doesn't. It is purely a marketing app. It's a pile of plop, frankly.
Yeah. See, I don't have a Nectar card or a club card because I have no loyalty.
And also, you have this weird thing and makes you want to wear tinfoil hats and stuff because you don't like them tracking you and crap.
So I don't want them tracking you because you'd see my shopping habits, man.
Indeed. So on to our good stuff. And Rod, Ian. No, Ian's not here. Robert, would you like to start?
What was that noise you just made?
I was trying to say.
That was a bit scary.
Don't ever do that again.
Yeah, please don't. Anyways, well, I've recently joined the fine community that is app.net. Thanks, by the way, Pete. And I have had a very hard time finding a really good client for my old iPhone 3G. You can scour the whole app store. There's nothing that works on old iOS 4.2.1 in this aspect.
Okay.
However, there's a whole bunch of very nifty little web apps, and one of the best I've found so far is Noodle App. It has pretty much all the functions that are essential to like any, well, as ADN is today, it's a kind of a Twitter clone, but hopefully that'll change in the future. But it has pretty much everything you need in basic functionality. Doesn't have any like photo uploads and stuff like that, but I don't really care myself. But for just like pure interactions between people, it works shockingly well, and it's surprisingly fast even on this old hardware. Oh, I think cool. They've done a smashing job.
I take it none of the big apps like NetBot work on the 3G now, do they?
No, sadly not.
Oh.
I checked and they demand, I think, iOS 5 as the lowest level now.
Gotcha.
They might have even pushed it up to 6, I'm not sure. Could be. Well, they like to be on the bleeding edge, and well, I'm not, so. Then again, Ian is on bleeding edge, I believe.
Very good, very good.
Zing.
Roddy, what is your pick this week?
My pick from the end of November, whenever it was, is Grand Theft Auto Vice City, which at the time was £2.99. That's 2.99 UK monetary units. Mm-hmm. On the App Store, and it's brilliant. It's what can I say? It's GTA Vice City on like your phone, and it's cool.
How does the interface work? Is it any good?
Interface is it's similar to the ones they've used before, for the GTA and other franchises. But it's got your little left right buttons and whatever. It is a little bit clunky, but you get used to it. But it's great. You just run around shooting people, which is no harm can come of that.
Indeed. Indeed.
It's great fun. Highly recommended. And if you create a playlist called, what was it called now? Vice City, I think. Create a playlist called Vice City, and it'll play your own music on the radio.
Ah, cool. That is nice. So,
as well as a pick.
Cool.
Hey, I can have V-Rock in my pocket, in theory. I mean, that's awesome alone, if you ask me.
Pretty cool.
Mine is also a game, but mine is a game that is very, very pretty. It's called Wonder Pup, and it's by, and I wish I'd come up with this name, my company would be called this, by a company called Damp Gnat Limited, which is frankly awesome. Wonder Pup is a little crazy golf game, but it is beautiful. It is just gorgeous. The animations are just lovely between the different greens and the holes and whatnot. So if you go on the link that we'll put in the show notes, basically the screens you see there is the screen you always see. It doesn't change or zoom in or anything like that. But the whole thing changes. The rockets move. Bottom right-hand corner, there's a little bit of a field. Cows come up out all the little sheds and eat the grass into a shape that's then a golf course, which you can play around. I think it's iPad only, but 69 pence. I've played through it at least 10-15 times. It's beautiful, and it shows kind of little infographics at the end when you finish. Kind of shows infographics of how you did and how you did against yourself and previous ones. I've just remembered. There's a few holes in the middle that actually go into a submarine, and you play in the submarine, and then it kind of expands out almost like how you would find an Airfix model. So it's kind of like separated out all its component parts, and then you play a little round in that. I think it's a beautiful little app. Lovely, 69 pence. I would highly recommend you go off and buy this. Oh, actually,
right, blooming will then.
It's very nice, very nice. And that's our show. That's all we've got. Ian has not managed to join us. We hope our thoughts are with his family at this terrible time. And
It's what he would have wanted.
Indeed, indeed. Where can we find you, Mr. McCleary?
I'm on Twitter. Well, I'm in my house. But I'm RODTI on Twitter and on app.net.
Grant, Robert, where can we find you?
Same places as Roddy, Twitter and app.net. I'm at Streak Machine, all in one word.
But Grant, not at my house.
Not as far as I know, anyway. No.
Yeah, that's. No, I like you and everything. Yeah.
Not after last time, anyway. Yeah.
I'll try to behave better next time.
If you want to follow me, I'm just Paul Wheatley on Twitter. I haven't joined that newfangled app.net thing yet. And if you want,
have you?
If you want to follow the network on Twitter, that's at British Tech. If you want to email us anything or send us questions for the Trouble Gussie, you can tweet any of us or send an email to britishtechnews@gmail.com. Finally, one last couple of things. First thing is, the voting is still open for the European Podcast Awards. This show is up for an award, as well as Mac, Big Gamer, Media and Photo. Would really appreciate you heading on over there. If you can head to the homepage of British Tech Network, you will see a massive big banner in the middle. Click on one of those links. Fire off. Vote for all the shows. As long as you close your browser between voting, you can vote as many times as you want. I didn't tell you that. So we'd really appreciate you going over there and doing what you can to vote for BTN. And the final thing is that the Bash is happening again this year. Tickets are not for sale yet, but just to make you aware, to keep the weekend of the 6th and 7th of July free, I believe there's a chance you might find some, if not all, of the iOS cast there. You'll find most of the Big, the Mac, the Gamer Show, definitely Dad and the Dude will be there, and many of the other shows will be getting broadcast live from a hopefully slightly less damp Birmingham as was last summer. So keep that weekend free if you want to come along and join us, or if you just want to listen to the hilarity over the internet. That's us for tonight. Thank you very much for joining us. Hopefully Ian will have made a full recovery by next time. And we will see you in a couple of weeks. We promise this time we will do our best to be back in a couple of weeks.
We'll be on before Easter.
Yes, we'll go to a quarterly podcast.
Yeah, quadcast.
Cool. Thank you very much, gents, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Bye-bye.
See you later.
Bye.